from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin with the debate. Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump met for the first presidential debate this election year last night. Polls have showed the race tightening the past few weeks, even here in California, where Clinton still holds a 17-point lead over Trump. It was the first time the GOP businessman performed in a one-on-one debate with an opponent, and for much of the night, he was on the defensive, as Clinton criticized him on a host of issues, from his refusal to release his tax returns to his record as a businessman. Still, his California supporters who watched the debate praised Trump's performance. Supporters like Mary Priscillis, who lives outside of Sacramento.
He didn't seem as rambunctious as he usually is, but I think he might also try to be settling down. So I thought he did a really good job, and he could have said some really nasty stuff, and he did not.
Trump did criticize Clinton for using the term super predators in the 1990s in reference to gangs of young black men, while the former Secretary of State noted that Trump has offended many with inflammatory statements towards Latinos, Muslims, and others. We're going to stay focused on the issue of race this morning and begin in Silicon Valley. The tech industry has long been criticized that diversity is undervalued, resulting in an overwhelmingly white, male workforce. There is a push to change that, as KQED's Silicon Valley Desk senior editor Queena Kim tells us as we enter the age of the chief diversity officer.
Facebook has one, so does Pinterest. And as of yesterday, Salesforce has one too.
Hi, my name is Tony Proffitt. My title is Chief Equality Officer of Salesforce.
Chief Equality Officer, Chief Diversity Officer. These are just some of the titles emerging in the tech industry as it tries high-profile strategies to address its diversity problem. Proffitt is African-American, and at Salesforce, he is a part of the executive leadership team and reports to CEO Mark Benioff.
He wants a partner to work with him to make sure that there's someone sitting around the table of leadership each and every day.
Salesforce's diversity numbers reflect the tech industries at large. It's 70% male and 67% white. Black and Latinos collectively make up 6% of its workforce.
This can be perceived as window dressing. This can be perceived as marketing and thought about cynically.
Jo Ellen Posner is a professor at Santa Clara University's business school. She says the proliferation of diversity chiefs in Silicon Valley hasn't significantly changed the workforce. But Posner says,
whether or not any individual diversity officer is making a huge difference to their organization, it's very important for this kind of conversation to be had.
And she says there is a fair amount of research to show that having candid conversations about race in the workplace brings about more creative solutions and helps retain workers of color. I'm in downtown San Francisco at Slack, the maker of the office messaging app. The company's gotten attention recently for diversifying its engineering team in the U.S., which is about 9% black.
Hello, my name is Leslie Miley. I'm the director of engineering at Slack.
Miley is black and has been an outspoken advocate for diversity in tech. He says Slack has been able to increase the number of black, Latino, and female engineers, in part by giving a coding test that doesn't reveal an applicant's name or background. Do you guys have a chief diversity officer, chief equality officer here at Slack?
We don't have a diversity officer at all. I believe that the chief diversity officer or the person most responsible for diversity should be the CEO.
Miley says Slack's CEO has taken on that responsibility. And he says that's the way it should be, because sometimes the only way things get done is when the big boss demands it. For the California Report, I'm Queena Kim.
Let's continue our focus on race and stop in the Central Valley town of Chowchilla. The high school there is one of four in California that have to drop their mascot, the Redskins, to follow a new state law. As Alice Daniel reports, the debate over what is identity and what is offensive is literally playing out on Main Street.
Ron Thomas is a third-generation graduate of the Chowchilla High School Redskins, class of 87. He says the town's identity rests on the name, so he wasn't happy when Governor Jerry Brown signed the California Racial Mascots Act last year.
People around Chowchilla, we're still salt of the earth, man of the dirt, hardworking people. And, you know, it's like We really don't like Sacramento coming in here and messing with our way of life.
Thomas is part Native American and runs a screen printing business that sells sports clothing with the Redskins logo. That's an embroidery machine in the background.
So here we're stitching some Chowchilla Redskin hats. These are going to be for the 100-year celebration that's coming up.
In light of the high school's centennial celebration, the city council recently introduced a plan to put up honorary Redskin Way street signs on the road that goes by the school. The original Humboldt Avenue street signs would also remain. City council members declined to comment on the signs. Dakota Kicking Bear Brown, a student activist at Stanford University, says the term is offensive because it refers to bounty hunters taking the scalps of Native Americans.
The term is a derogatory term. It's defined as a racial slur. And, you know, this word, for a lot of Native people, brings back, you know, really bad memories.
He says the town shouldn't use the word anywhere. The city council will take a final vote tonight on whether to make the signs. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Chowchilla.
One final note, we are watching the Loma Fire in the Santa Cruz Mountains. We plan on bringing you more tomorrow. In the meantime, there are some stunning pictures taken of the fire last night as it raged over the iconic Santa Cruz boardwalk. You can find a link to those pictures on my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. And that's the California Report for Tuesday, September 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.